Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I hope you're out getting some this great sunshine on a Wednesday. It's been a wonderful spring. I don't know about your garden, but mine is way better than it was, I think, pretty much all last year. Way ahead of the game on that. And it's been nice to jam all this yard work in now so we can sit back and enjoy it when June gets over. I know I'm a pessimist, but we know how it goes. May's nice. June's going to be terrible. And then July 5th, it'll be perfect for the rest of the summer until it smokes up. just to begin with, I'm not going to call anybody any names, but I got to ask everybody again, why are you going to vote for Donald Trump? He clearly is a criminal, and maybe he doesn't really think of himself that way, which is probably the worst kind of criminal. He doesn't understand the criminality of what he does. I think he probably does, but he just thinks he can do it. I mean, this man took boxes of classified documents, and when he was told before he shouldn't do that, and then when he gets subpoenaed, he turns over a few of them, but not, we just learned this, is why I'm bringing it up, but not before he hides a bunch of them and then tells everybody to not tell anybody about them, and then has his lawyers represent that he has turned them all over. Now, this is a person who does not care about legal process. This is a person who doesn't care about the law. Now, would you want such a person running the cash register at your store? Someone with no regard for the law? Probably not. So why are you going to vote for him to be the leader of the most powerful country in the world with his finger on the nuclear button? And think about it. Forget the cash register. Any of you out there who have ever had employees and had employees who had to interact with the public, would any of you hire this guy to work for you? You wouldn't. I mean, who would? He is rude and offensive pretty much for a full-time job. And even when he's trying to be nice, he still says stupid stuff that is just insulting and ignorant. I mean, I wouldn't put him out front. I wouldn't let him interact with anybody. I wouldn't even be associating with him in my business. So he's just, I don't understand. And I don't think I'm ever gonna. I really don't get it. But it does make me feel better to say all that. I mean, that's what the point of the show is, really, for me, since you all don't ever send me an email and ask me a question. So I'm only asking you to consider why you're voting for him. I mean, I can't think of a reason. The only thing I can think is if you're rich and you like tax cuts, well, that's fine. I get that. But if you're not rich, I mean, what is it that he's providing that you think he can provide you? I mean, protection from the immigrants? Well, we're all immigrants, folks. Remember, no matter what you believe, we all came from the same place, maybe two different places, who knows, but we spread out all over the world. I don't care how long you got been here, you're still an immigrant. So, I mean, the immigrant solution is just simply information. We need enough people to vet these people to see the good ones from the bad ones and let the good ones in. I personally have worked with probably 50 people who are not from this country over the years, and every single one of them, without exception, was so grateful to even be here that they were extremely hardworking people that were almost annoyingly hardworking sometimes, made us look bad. And just recently, there was a couple of immigrants who were here, and all they wanted to do was work. They would do anything for, you know, to make money. I mean, people are not going to leave their homeland to seek a better life so they can get on the welfare dole. I mean, they're going to come here because they want to do better, and welfare is not doing better. So I don't know what, it's not that. He's not protecting you from immigration. That needs to happen anyway. And the other one would be maybe because you think he's going to protect you from the woke mob or whatever. I don't know who the woke mob is. Still trying to figure that out. I've been looking for the class where they could teach somebody how to be a homosexual. I haven't found it yet. Seems like that would be a, well, probably be just about as hard as teaching them not to be. Anyway, we're coming up on our first break. This is Common Law 7B. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we will be right back.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com, 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-736-6158 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-736-6158. That's 800-736-6158. What do you have to lose? Call 800-736-6158. Again, 800-736-6158.
Ad paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention veterans, active duty military, civilians, and contractors. If you were issued earplugs between 1999 and 2015 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-789-4407 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-789-4407 now. Again, 800-789-4407. That's 800-789-4407.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. We're here on a beautiful Wednesday. Moving on to a quick one more topic. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. The library is not your nanny. The library is not daycare. The library is the library. So if you don't want your kids reading certain things at the library, then don't let them go or go with them. You don't ban books. I mean, that's just crazy town. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about something that is near and dear to me that I've said before, but it's driving me nuts because I almost saw somebody get killed again today. It's that traffic flow downtown. You've all seen it. People jump in lanes because they're in the wrong lane. They don't know where to go. It's just like you couldn't make that any more dangerous if you tried. Well, you could. Take out the stop signs, remove the speed limit signs. And then build giant billboards on each corner so you couldn't see around the corner. I mean, it's that bad. I mean, it's traffic engineering is not very complicated. Crosswalks, two-way streets, and turns are bad. The less of those, the better. So if you don't have a pen, you can listen to this again, but you need to write it down, and you need to get a hold of whoever at the city and say, here's what needs to happen. Here's the first one. The light at 5th and Cedar, the one that you hit when you are going west on Cedar, the one that's to the south of the Chevron, the one that was forever center lane straight or left. Right lane was right turn only. It was that way forever. Anybody who's lived here knows that. And so what I almost saw today, which is the same thing I saw about 2 weeks ago, was, well, one guy, and most people want to go right. They don't want to go straight. And so one guy wants to go straight in that lane, and now you have traffic backed up across 4th Street. And leaving a gap like that for cars to proceed through is like the most dangerous situation you can possibly create. I mean, people wave each other through and they shouldn't. Bikes try to go through and they shouldn't. It's just, and it's totally unnecessary. I mean, it is totally unnecessary for it to be that way. Now, it's the Department of Transportation. Well, here's what I did. I sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the Department of Transportation, and I said, hey, what gives? Why is that light that way? It's stupid. Oh, that's the way the city of Sandpoint wanted it. Well, then I asked the city of Sandpoint, hey, what gives? Why is that light that way? You know what? Of course you know what they said. Well, I can hear you saying it already. Oh, that's the DOT's light. We can't do anything about it. Okay. Tell them this. Tell everybody this. The Department of Transportation doesn't have a blank check to do whatever they want in your town. They do not. They're not the railroad. Thank goodness they're not the railroad. There's a statute. I don't have it in front of me, but it specifically sets out a standard. And it's not, you know, it's common sense. You can't run traffic through the middle of a town if the net benefit to the traveling public, you know, they're trying to move people around the state, isn't outweighed by the detriment to the town of having a corridor through it. Now, we all know what that looked like, don't we? Not good. And so they're blaming each other for this nonsense. The city won't do anything about it. And you people need to put pressure on them and say, this is simple. I'll do it for free. I already told them that. I said, if you have to get into a lawsuit with the DOT about this nonsense, I'll do it for free. I don't think I'd even need an expert witness to say, that's stupid. When you could line up everybody in town to say 99% of everybody wants to go right at that light. And so why is it this way? There's no logic to it. So that's one problem. Here's the next problem. First Avenue, when you're heading north on First, so you envision yourself heading, you know, you've gone past the bridge down to the beach, and you've got Church Street on your left, and you're heading down towards Cedar Street Bridge. Right at Church, that needs to be a one-way north only. And then it can go back to two-way when it gets around the corner to Second. And now, why do you want to do that? Because of that big snarl that we've all seen in the summer. When anybody wants to turn off of First onto Church or down to Bridge Street, backs up people behind them. And sometimes it backs them up both directions when people are all snarled up, and then you got Bridge Street all backed up, and it's just totally unnecessary. Now, the other thing this would do is it would allow you to put, you know, semi-perpendicular parking. You know how they have part of it semi-perpendicular and part of it is parallel? You could do semi-perpendicular parking all the way up and down First Avenue, because you only have one lane, and you still have a way big enough lane, probably even for delivery vehicles to park, and you can still get around them. I don't know if any of you have been to downtown Bend, Oregon, but that's what they have. They have a one way that goes on one of the main shopping streets, and they have the other one that comes back. And they have tons of parking. It'd allow you to maybe widen the sidewalks a little bit, but it's just a good idea. I mean, I know we all wanted our two-way streets, and that's why the city did what they did, because they listened to what these people said. And, oh, I'm sorry, you should listen to the people, but you're also what we call the representative democracy, which means you listen to them, you consider what they're saying, and then you do the right thing, and then if they don't like it, then they can unelect you. That's how it works, you know. I like the referendum idea where the citizens can vote on things, but it's kind of like, you know, that's what you vote these people into office to make these decisions, not to do whatever you think, you know, you should. And the city has to remember that most people that are willing to get involved in this kind of thing and make comments about what should happen they're not representative of the general population. They're just some people that are willing to get involved. And, you know, they told me, well, that's what they wanted because that's what it was when their dad was here, blah, blah, blah. Well, your dad was here a long time ago. And now we have a downtown that finally does not have a traffic highway through it. And we need it to be what it should be, which is like Baker Street in downtown Oregon. You know, don't go down there unless you're going to shop or eat or work. But ideally, don't park down there if you're working. Park over somewhere else and walk. Leave those spots open. You know, here's my other idea. Now put yourself in the car and you're heading south on Fifth Avenue and you've gone past the Chevron through that light. All those ridiculous left-hand turns, none of those need to be there. You can turn on Cedar, and if you forget, by God, you can turn on Church, ideally Pine, but we'll get to that, and backtrack a couple of blocks, right? I mean, we've all seen what happens with those things. People are in the wrong lane. They figure it out. They don't look. They jump over. I've not seen a wreck, but I've seen about a million close calls. Those left-hand turns are not necessary, and they're dangerous. Now, what this would also allow is all those streets between Cedar and ideally Pine, but for now Church, all of those streets, you could make them one ways heading to the west, and you could right turn only onto Fifth Avenue. And you would do this because it would allow perpendicular parking on all those streets also. And then when you have a right-hand turn only on to 5th, you don't have to create a turnaround for these people to be able to back out and get back downtown. They just have to go right and go around the block. It's not the end of the world. What is the other one? Oh, yeah, the last one. My favorite is that interchange, whatever you call that, at Church and Pine and 5th and, you know, the little square thing. I sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the DOT. And they didn't answer me, but they called me. And they said, we got a traffic study that says that's way safer than putting a light on Pine and 5th. I mean, if you just look down at the way traffic flows, we all know how it flows. And if you just look at that, you're going, it would be a lot safer to not have that way. You're routing highway traffic through residential and commercial zones that are not designed for that kind of thing. Granted, they don't let trucks go down. They don't let trucks go that way. I mean, they do early in the morning. If you get up and go running, you'll find that out. But there's no reason for that to be that way. It's ridiculous that I still go the same way to work. I live in South Sandpoint. My office is over by 7B Fitness, you know, Sandpoint Superdrug. I still go down 4th Street and hit all those stop signs and go right through town because it's a whole lot easier than dealing with 5th Avenue. And on that last point, all these lights that the Department of Transportation has in our town, they need to be on sensors, not timers. I don't. Well, some people just run the red lights on the way to the gym early in the morning because it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't go that way because I don't want to sit at the red light when there's nothing coming across or there's no traffic at all, and it sits that way for hours. And it wastes gas to do that. It's just, and they did all this nonsense, and you can tell me I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I have pretty good evidence that they did this because when we shut down the curve, remember the curve that was going to take out Dubs, the road that was going to go where the old railroad track there by Foster's Crossing? Well, the city of Sandpoint said, we don't want your curve. And it's really weird how these governmental agencies are. It's like they want to get their little pet project in their head and they want to spend their money and they don't like it when you won't let them. I mean, I'd be like, fine, we'll take our $7 million and go somewhere else. But that's why a lot of this is going on. And one of these, I had talked to somebody who said they were at one of these meetings with the DOT when they were talking about the curve and the reconfiguration, and they didn't like some of the comments from the crowd. And some DOT guy says, well, we'll just back the traffic up all the way to Cedar Street Bridge, which is what they're doing. I mean, I've seen it cross 3rd probably 3 times, you know, but crossing 4th is a daily occurrence in the summer, more than once. Anyway, we're coming up on our second break. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I'll tell you my email, just in case you want to ask me a question. It's commonlaw7b@gmail.com, and we will be right back.
Sandpoint Superdrug is celebrating their 50th anniversary. Thanks to their customers, they're still able to offer everything you need in one place. Get ready for your outside projects and pick up all your supplies in their Ace Hardware department. While you're there, fill your prescriptions, check out their nutrition center, or visit their home and gift area. They have something for everyone. Proud to be serving you for 50 years. Open 7 days a week on 5th Avenue. Sandpoint Superdrug, your friendly, family-owned business.
Have you thought about a new and improved low-maintenance metal roof? Badger Building Center has the industry's absolute best Fabrol metal roofing with the absolute best prices around. Fabrol metal roofing comes in 20 different color options, has a 40-year warranty, and will give your home, pool building, or shed the protection you're looking for. Visit Badger Building Center in Post Falls, Sagal, Bonners Ferry, or Kalispell for all your Fabrol metal roofing needs. Or visit them online for a free quote at badgerbuilding.com. That's badgerbuilding.com.
The savings continue with Bi-Mart's latest savings book, out now and posted on Bi-Mart.com. Our 20-page book has store-wide savings in every department. We've got your projects around the house, inside and out, covered for less. Plus, find great savings on sporting goods, food, snacks, and more. Save now with our latest savings book at Bi-Mart, your employee-owned membership store.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
SimpliSafe was named Best Home Security of 2023 by U.S. News & World Report. But we don't do what we do for the accolades. We do it to protect you and everything you love. Our advanced sensors, indoor and outdoor HD cameras, and hazard detectors are powered by live 24/7 professional monitoring, so you get emergency help fast. Get 20% off any new system with interactive monitoring at simplysafe.com/radio. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. If you've not listened to Dark Side of the Moon, do yourself a favor and do that. Put on some candles and your favorite set of headphones, or if you have a good stereo. A lot of people haven't ever heard it, which is just beyond comprehension to me, but you're out there. Something else I want to bring up, because it came up the other day. Actually, first I want to tell you what came up the other day. I have horrific allergies, and I was at the gas station getting gas early in the morning, and there was some big jacked up truck with Trump stuff all over it and blah, blah, blah. And the guy heard me sneeze, and he said, oh, allergies. And he was like legitimately really concerned, you know, and there is no us in them, folks. There's just us. And we didn't come together based on political ideals. We came together in communities because it works better for all of us. I mean, we didn't, you know, I don't care what you think about abortion if you're going to help me make my city better. I mean, that's what we're here for. We're not here to try to control what each other's thinks. We're just here to help each other. But anyway, what did come up the other day was once again, somebody trying to justify, I mean, I agree, let's balance the budget as much as we can, which Clinton did, just to remind everybody that he did that. And then we had a few wars in there that didn't help. But anyway, balancing the budget's a good idea. And we all know how to balance a budget. You either spend less money or you tax more, or you do both. And I'm all for the spend less money and streamlining government, but I'm having a hard time getting people to understand why corporate tax breaks are not going to help you. And it's not obviously not going to balance the budget. Now, here's what everybody misses. Most of you good people out there, you think, well, when something good happens to me, I like to, you know, spread the love. kick down a little bit. You know, that makes sense. That's how you should think. I mean, when I have a good result on a case and I have a giant bill, it's like, well, you know, I'm going to cut him a break on the bill just because, well, one, I like what I do. I still feel bad about how much I charge to do it because I love doing it. But here's the scandal. Corporations can't think like that. And it's not because they're evil. I'm not suggesting that. The corporations can't pass any benefit on to you as consumers unless it is to their benefit to do so. So when they have a big pile of cash because they got a lot less taxes, they cannot raise wages unless the market forces them to do that. Now, why can't they do that? Because they have a thing called a fiduciary duty. I'm under a fiduciary duty to my clients. It's the highest duty in the law. It means everything we do has to be for your benefit. Nobody else's. Remember we talked about insurance? That's the problem with for-profit insurance is the people that run the insurance company have a duty to their shareholders, not to their policyholders. And so that's just an inherent conflict of interest. I mean, your job is to keep as much money as you can for your shareholders. That means by definition, your job is to not give as or give as little money as you can to your policyholders. It's just not reconcilable. You can't have a company that sells you peace of mind, but doesn't actually owe you peace of mind. And believe it or not, financial advisors are not fiduciaries. That's just crazy town. So they can fee churn or do whatever they want to do, pretty much. You just got to read your contract and make sure. And the same goes for higher wages, for lower prices, that they're going to charge you what the market commands and not a penny less. I mean, because they can't. Not because they're evil, because they cannot do it. It's not legal for them to do that. If they started giving breaks to consumers, the shareholders would sue them. They'd all get thrown out, sued for breach of fiduciary duty. And that's how it works. So those two things are just absolutely incorrect. So if you're poor and you think corporate tax breaks are somehow good for you, you're wrong. They are not. They're good for corporations. Now, if you have shares in the corporation, they are good for you. But most of us don't. I don't. Most people do not own shares of companies, big companies especially. So what is that? The only thing that really leaves is this idea that companies will expand because they have the capital to do so. Well, here's the problem with that. Well, first of all, that had a name a long time ago called trickle-down economics, which has been completely debunked. There's not a person in the world that still thinks that's a good idea except these so-called budget hawks in the Freedom Caucus. No economist in the world thinks that that's actually true. And actually, they describe it the same way. You give a big corporate tax break to a corporation, it creates a big pool of money for the corporation, and a little teeny bit of that might trickle down to the consumer. Corporations don't expand unless there's a reason to do so. They're not going to build another factory because they got a pile of cash. And here's the other thing. Corporations don't drain their cash reserves to expand. They borrow the money. They build the cost of debt into the whole project. And so there's no way around it, folks. If you give a corporation a huge tax break, all you're doing is giving the money to the shareholders, period. That's it. So again, every time I hear it, it just baffles my mind why anybody who doesn't own shares in a company or isn't rich, even they wouldn't care. It's corporate. You got to own shares in a company. Why would anybody who's poor think that that's a good idea? I mean, especially if you want to balance the budget. I'm not saying take the money from the corporations and just throw it at the poor people and give them all the money they want to do nothing and not have to work. I'm saying balance the budget. I mean, you can't do that without making the people pay who can pay, and shareholders losing some stock value because there's less cash in the bank. I think balancing the budget probably in the long run is a heck of a lot more important than that. Anyway, I just bring it up again because it really is maddening to me. I actually did run into a guy and talked to him about that, and I explained this to him. And he's like, nobody's ever explained that to me. And I'm like, yeah, man, they don't tell you that. All they do is give you $500 after this big corporate tax break to keep you from storming the Capitol. So, yeah, that's why they gave that money, those bonuses and stuff. They, you know, needed to appear to kick down, but they didn't raise wages. And again, look at the GDP growth from after the big recession of 08, right up until the pandemic. Nothing changed because of those tax cuts. Nothing. And this isn't me making this stuff up. Look it up online. Okay, all right, maybe they're lying to you online too. But if that's your answer for everything, again, why are you even listening? So, yeah, tax cuts do nothing but further enrich the people that are already rich. So try to consider that when you think that those are people you want to vote for, because they're just giving money to rich people. What else do I want to talk about today? Oh, the debt ceiling nonsense. Biden, I wouldn't have even considered talking to those people about that. What they were doing, folks, is like, if you don't like how much money your spouse is spending, you're going to intentionally default on your mortgage to teach her a lesson or him a lesson? No, that's idiotic. Yeah, it's great. Go to counseling. Sit down. Talk about spending and, you know, other issues we need to address. Kind of like Congress sits down and talks about the budget and what they want to see in it. There's a whole process for this. You don't hold the entire world's economy hostage because you can't get her done in the budget negotiation process following the normal rules. I mean, we are not a country where the ends justify the means, people. That is the point in the Constitution. That is the reason, the whole thing that set us apart from the whole rest of the world all those years ago. The ends do not justify the means. The means are the most important thing. The means are everything for us. So even if you think a budget cut is a good idea, that's not the way to do it. I mean, that's just idiotic. I mean, we saw what happened the last time they pulled this stunt. And now McCarthy's going to get probably unelected from that position by the Freedom Caucus, and they won't have any plan for a replacement. So once again, everything in Congress is going to grind to a halt because they can't do anything without a Speaker of the House. But I guess who really cares? They've been in charge, what, for 100 and some days? And they have passed 6 bills. The Republicans have passed 6 bills. Not one of them has a thing to do with addressing anything you care about. Doesn't address immigration, doesn't address health care, doesn't address anything. You know, there's one addressing abortion, and there's some grandstanding stuff about China and not sending petroleum reserves. I mean, that's all they've gotten done. So, you know, they're too busy being angry and, you know, trying to attack people, and they don't accomplish anything. But, you know, for the most part, none of them really do, which we've discussed because of their rules that they use to basically make it impossible to pass anything. Like that one guy, who's that senator? He's holding up 200 and some high, including Secretary of Defense or Assistant Secretary of Defense, high military appointments because he wants the military to stop providing reproductive services to its service members. Is that the party of national security? When your own little God work thing is going to put our entire military and our country's security at risk, does that make any sense at all? And weren't the Republicans the party of, you know, security and military and blah, blah, blah? But now we're willing to basically, for doing God's work, just put everybody else at risk, which is very similar to voting for Trump, if that's why you voted for him, is because you are anti-abortion or anti-choice or whatever you want to call it, because you're doing God's work by voting that guy in. I submit that putting a obviously impulsive, erratic person who has no regard for the law, who thinks he can do anything, in charge of the most powerful country in the world with his finger on the button, I don't see that as God's work, folks, unless you want to fill up God's hall with a whole bunch of dead people when this moron starts World War III. So anyway, we're coming up on our last break. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we'll be right back.
You've heard them announce it on the news, high wind warnings. For most people, that just means hide the patio furniture. But if you own private timberland, a high wind warning could wind up costing you thousands of dollars in downed timber and cleanups. Idaho Forest Group can help you prepare for wind damage to your forest land and maintain its value. We'll send one of our foresters to do a no-cost survey of your forest and come up with a strategy to minimize the damage winds can do. The strategy can also help reduce the risk of damages from fires, insects, or disease as well. And if selective thinning is recommended, you might decide to sell merchantable trees. Idaho Forest Group is a rock-solid company with years of experience in the region. We know exactly what to do, and we'll be here to help maintain your healthy forests in the future. If you own 10 or more acres of timberland and stand to lose money in the next windstorm, contact us to schedule a forester visit at ifg.com.
Ridge Transmission and Performance, formerly BF Quick Lube, has new owners and new services, offering transmission repair, manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment, 267-7481, or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ridge Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. If you ever meet me, you can call me Art. I only say Arthur because it's easier to say. Art's pretty hard to say, believe it or not. And most people hear Mark or Bart or something like that. So how about all that gun violence over Memorial Day weekend? I mean, any ideas out there what to do about this? My question is, what's the objection? Maybe one of y'all out there can explain it to me, to outline like 50 round magazines in AR-15s, because I try to think them up myself. One that comes to mind has got to defend my house. All right, well, if you're cracking off 50 rounds in your AR-15, you're probably going to kill more neighbors than intruders. The only one other one I could think of I heard once was to keep the government from taking my guns. Well, good luck with that. They have better guns, and there's not any plan to do that. I don't know what everybody is so vigorously defending the Second Amendment when it's not under assault, not even a little. I mean, your Fourth Amendment, holy cow, it's been stripped and ruined, and you don't even have one anymore. The Second Amendment's never been stronger. Supreme Court's never had, I mean, it's just never been stronger. Nobody passes any kind of laws anymore. I really assumed that after that abortion case came out that said basically, oh, well, in 1600, oh, that makes sense. That's recent. But in 1600, this wasn't really a contemplated thing. And so whatever, it wasn't contemplated by our framers. Well, I was waiting for New York City to repass their handgun ban. And, repeating handguns, I suppose you could do muzzle-loading handguns or muzzle-loading rifles. because I am pretty sure the founding fathers did not contemplate, 5,500 mound or round magazines with repeating rifles on fully automatic. Leonardo did actually, I think, design something like that. He never really figured it out. I don't know they had gunpowder then. I don't even know what the timing of that was. But the point is, folks, you can't pick and choose, what these things apply to. When they say something like, oh, it wasn't contemplated when they passed the Constitution, well, think of all the things that we now kind of take for granted that were not. I mean, does that mean they can ban driving? I mean, why would they want to, but can they? So I really thought that New York would do that. I mean, I want to start a city and pass a ban like that. So you got muzzle loaders, any kind of muzzle loader, whatever you want to do, but nothing else. And then somebody would sue me, and then I could go to Supreme Court and just say, well, none of this other stuff was contemplated. All they had was muzzle loaders. And they had cannons. I guess you could have a cannon, but it was itself a muzzle loader, just a big one. What else was I going to ask or talk to you about? Well, I was going to talk to you about divorce, but that's kind of a longer topic. I can probably do part of it, and I think the most important part you need to hear is, there's no advantage to be gained in divorces. People do all kinds of goofy things that they think is going to help somehow in their divorce. But it doesn't. All it does is aggravate the other person. The favorite trick is to take all the money. And, well, don't take all the money. Take half the money. You take all the money, and then you start giving out allowances to your soon-to-be ex-spouse. You might as well just light their skin on fire because they're never going to get over it. The other advice I'd give you is set aside the drinking while you're doing it, because you're going to want to drink a lot. I've never done it. I've not gotten divorced myself, but, I've seen my clients go through this stuff and it's just tough. And a few of them, I've advised them of that and they've actually listened to me, which, I probably wouldn't, but they did. But a divorce is really just, it's a splitting of a business partnership, no different than any other one, except with some emotion. You really need to keep in your head that you don't want to wind things up because, when you do that, only people that benefit are people like me. So always keep that in mind I used to do this thing called a guardian ad litem where I'd get between parents who were fighting about kids. And, oddly enough, I quit getting those appointments when I kept telling the people who were coming to see me that they were a walking argument for forced vasectomies at birth or forced sterilization. So I didn't, because they were, they sit down and they say, oh, he's crazy, blah, blah, blah. You were married to him for 15 years and he just got, so what's that make you, right? And you don't want him to see your kid. I mean, who else is going to be a better babysitter for your kid than their parent? Maybe they're not the best parent, but they certainly have an instinct to protect the kid more than your average person, or they should. And if they don't, well, then you probably do have some legitimate concerns. But, trying to hold the kids away, the protection order, if you better be really, really sure you need that, because that is just throwing gas on the fire when you do that. And a lot of lawyers advise it. I have no idea why. Don't do it unless you really think you need it. And if you think the person's going to kill you and that's why you want it, well, guess what? If they're going to kill you, the least of their concerns is a court order that says don't. So avoid those if you can. If you really need one, then get one. And on that same subject, if you think the topic of divorce would create a danger for you, well, I recommend circling your friends and family and whoever and finding a way to get out of the house. Go somewhere else. And you're like, well, why wouldn't the other person have to leave? Well, if they're the kind of person that you have a legitimate concern that they're going to get weird or violent with you when this comes up, then, again, you do not want to aggravate them. Leave them where they are. Kicking them out of the house, and that's what most people do with these protection orders. That's how they get the house, is they get a protection order when they probably don't really need one. I've seen it a number of times, including very recently. But that just takes everything to a level that you can't. It's just, I mean, all sense goes out the window. I mean, it's 50-50, folks. To get an unequal division of a divorce is extremely difficult. So, you know, it's, and to not, you're, for somebody not to have custody, I mean, they got to be pretty bad before they're not going to have, you know, significant custodial time with their kid. So the more you fight these things, the more you aggravate the whole situation. It's not good for the kids. It's good for the lawyers, but not good for you. So just remember to try to, and you're going to always, and my client's like, always, why are you always telling me to basically, you know, take it? And I'm like, because, I mean, it doesn't hurt your case. It doesn't cost you any money and it doesn't matter. And so if they're going to thrash around and, you know, waste all their energy being angry and difficult, well, why would you engage in that? You're in a difficult time as it is, you know, you just need to get through the thing, get it done, which is, you know, the main thing you have to do in a divorce is figure out what you have, you know, have a good idea of it, know your account balances, all that, and then go to mediation. And you don't necessarily need attorneys to go to mediation. I mean, well, you don't, period. And I've, I don't know if I've discussed mediation before, but it basically it's a totally voluntary process where somebody helps you find an agreement with the other person. And divorce stuff is so simple for the most part that you probably wouldn't really need a lawyer. Now, you do want to be careful with this non-attorney assisted mediation because sometimes they won't let, they don't have you sign anything. And I think I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. Any agreement that you write that has to do, or any agreement you reach that has to do with marriage settlement, division of property, even if you're not getting divorced, if it's like an anti-nuptial agreement, which is one you do after instead of the prenup, which is before you get married, if it's any of that stuff, it has to be written and signed in front of a notary public, you know, and acknowledged in the exact same way that you acknowledge a deed when you do a deed. And if you don't do that, then all your work will have been for naught if the other other person changes their mind. Because they can literally stand up in court and say, yep, that is exactly what I agreed to, but I didn't sign it. And it's not enforceable. This has cost clients of mine who I wasn't involved in the mediation, probably cost them $150,000 in legal fees because we went ahead and had a big old divorce thing that was settled and then not settled because somebody that wasn't signed before they left the mediation. So now what I do is when the court orders non-attorney assisted mediation, which generally what they do when it involves kids is I just say, I won't agree to that. And to, I mean, obviously if the court orders, I don't have a choice unless I was Trump, then I just say, whatever, I'll do what I want. I won't agree to that unless the lawyers are available. So if they reach an agreement, we can review it and then say, sign it. But yeah, that's a big one to watch out for. But mediation should get it done. 99.99% of all divorces are not necessarily amicable, but most people know enough to know that equal is equal, 50-50, right down the middle. I mean, so, you know, all you're doing by fighting about stuff is lowering the amount we're going to split because you're giving it to jokers like me. So anyway, I don't know what else to tell you about divorce. Oh, do go to counseling before you just get divorced because it's worth it. You know, I'm not lecturing you. Do whatever you got. I'm not, there's no judgment in me saying that. I'm just saying Idaho is one of the weird states where if you came to see me, I could probably get you divorced in 12 hours. You know, if everybody was cooperating, you could probably get her done. And so that's too bad. California has a cooling period, so you got to mellow out, but it looks like we're coming to the end of our show. Hey, if anybody out there has any like allergy life hack things, if you could email me any tips, you know, I'm doing the pills in the nose and the Navage and everything, but I didn't know they could make you feel nauseous. I didn't know that. I was nauseous all day yesterday. I looked it up. I'm like, oh, good God. Hey, the hits just keep coming. But not complaining about the blooms. Anyway, this has been Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. My email is commonlaw7b@gmail.com. You all have a good last day of May, and we will see you next month or the month after.